Should social media companies have more skin in the game when it comes to rooting out lies, propaganda, and misinformation concerning public health? I'm David Brancaccio. A new bill in the Senate seeks to hold social media companies legally liable for dangerous health misinformation on their platforms. Right now, the companies have broad protections over what their users publish. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here. Nova, as I understand it, the idea is to remove a legal shield called Section 230.
That's right, David. And as we know, there's been a lot of talk in Washington about reforming Section 230. That provision is in the 1996 Communications Decency Act. It gives internet companies broad liability protections over what their users say. Social media companies credit the law for allowing them to exist. So now we have this bill introduced by Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar. She made clear in a statement that it was prompted by vaccine misinformation. And what the bill would do is strip away legal immunity from liability for content that is deemed health-related misinformation. But that would only go into effect when the federal government declares a public health emergency. Now, the response from one tech industry group, at least, Chamber of Progress, was negative. It put out a statement saying the bill would give the federal government too much power to define what qualifies as health misinformation, David.
Now, Democrats and Republicans have been talking about changing this Section 230 for a long time now. What are the chances this bill gets anywhere?
Well, yeah, this particular bill doesn't have any Republican co-sponsors. We'll have to see if that changes. But yes, broadly speaking, lawmakers have been looking at kind of a piecemeal approach to reforming Section 230 by carving out exceptions. There are several bills now introduced that would do that for specific things. And Congress has carved out exceptions before. In 2018, for sex trafficking, that passed with huge support. So perhaps more carve-outs could be in the offing, David.
All right, Nova, thank you. As we've been following this week out of Britain, a smartphone app from their National Health Service that detects when people have crossed paths with a person infected with COVID has been pinging off the hook with the spread of the Delta variant. When the app does the alert, people have to stay home for 10 days, which is sidelining loads of workers. Well, today, Britain is switching to a system where workers alerted by this app can go get a fast COVID test so they can keep working if they're negative. The BBC's business correspondent, Theo Luggett, has more.
The new scheme is designed to prevent a lack of staff leading to shortages of food. With infection rates rising, thousands of employees in the food supply sector have been contacted by Test and Trace or pinged by the COVID app and forced to self-isolate. But starting from today, workers at key sites in the supply chain, such as food factories or distribution centres, will be allowed to continue working even if they're pinged, provided they take COVID tests for 7 days. The British Retail Consortium welcomed the announcement, but said ministers should be ready to take further action if necessary. Separately, the government has provided more detail of exemptions from isolation which are being made available to workers in other sectors of the economy. 16 areas are covered, including energy, medicines, and water supply. But these exemptions will only apply to specific employees, whose absence from work would have a major impact on essential services or national security.
The BBC's Theo Leggett in London. Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.5% range. The key index in Amsterdam is up 1% now. And here's a number in the form of a date, 2023. The CEO of Intel forecasts the global shortage of microprocessors could stretch through this year and next and into 2023. There have been long waits for all sorts of chips, including the ones on graphics cards for video gaming, and the lack of chips is still crimping the supply of cars and trucks for sale. There are many reasons for the shortage, including all the chips needed for the devices that made remote working and remote learning possible during pandemic. The opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics is this morning, and four sports are making their Olympic debut at the Games: karate, skateboarding, sports climbing, and surfing. That's a lot of new sports at the Olympics. It used to be one in, one out, that kind of deal. Well, how much energy and attention comes to those that make the cut? Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
The sport of rugby is almost custom made for an American audience, if you ask Ross Young.
It's almost a cross between American football and basketball, I always think is the best way to describe it.
But a decade ago, only 80,000 people were members of the organization he runs, USA Rugby. Then the sport was reintroduced to the Olympics in 2016, and membership nearly doubled. The new visibility, it's been good for rugby and rugby players like Carlin Isles. He has more than 200,000 followers on TikTok and Instagram who can see him sprinting and singing.
So tell me what you want to hear.
And advertising non-alcoholic craft beer. Some of the sports joining the Olympics this summer might get a lift like that too. At a surf shop in Far Rockaway, New York, about a block from the Atlantic Ocean, Alex Seal sells
surf wax scented candles. They're all the rage now.
And a few surfboards too. But
I think surfing since the 90s has kind of fell off and has become sort of like a background sport.
Visibility from the Olympics might help surfing, but not everyone can do it because not everyone lives near an ocean. It's also expensive. Seal says it costs about $1,000 just to get started. But he's a skateboarder too, and for that, he says, being in the Olympics could be huge.
With skating, you're going to see it. It's already been blowing up, and with this, you're going to see it blow up even more.
Sometimes, instead of the Olympics helping a sport take off, a sport helps the Olympics look good. Stefan Szymański is a professor of sports management at the University of Michigan.
The planet is not going to take up surfing, but what you are going to get is something which is going to be a superb piece of television, one supposes, which will help sell the Olympics as an institution.
Both skateboarding and surfing make their Olympic debut on Saturday. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.